Greetings in our Lord Jesus Christ's name, the great shepherd of the sheep. Certainly been edified and blessed this morning in being here. Also, bring greetings from the church in Lebec. Certainly think about you all many times, pray for you, and be keenly feel the support from you all. You know, when the disciples came there to the tomb, they said, "He is risen, he is not here. Come see the place where he lay. He is risen." We were singing there, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland." So, the fact is that Jesus Christ is risen, and therefore we also can rise to newness of life. The Bible speaks in Colossians there about being translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The brother was speaking there about going forth with weeping. Going forth with weeping. Now, we normally don't weep unless there's something to weep about. And we know, and there's usually nothing to weep about unless there's some pain around, unless there's some disappointment around. Unless there's a real travail in our soul. The Bible says when Israel travails, she bringeth forth children. Right after that scripture, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So, the Lord's in the building business, but as he's in the building business, we go through some painful experiences. I don't know if you do, brethren and sisters, but I know over in California, building for the kingdom is a painful experience, especially when the Lord's building in here. In other words, when we have a vision of God, like one of the brothers brought out the other evening, something has to die in here. Something has to die in here. Are we equipped to run this race? Bible says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." Have you and I accepted that true fact? If we're going to walk with God, my dear friends, we're going to have to walk the narrow way, or we'll never make it to glory. That's not just an interesting verse, but it is a verse that should make us sing and sit up. Are we following God's will, or are we following my will or your will or anything else? It's a narrow way, my dear friends. And the world is begging in for our attention today. The world is beckoning for us to compromise. I had a meeting recently with very zealous outfit. They were going out building children's home. Well, praise God. We need a lot of orphanages. And according to the pamphlet they gave me, there was thousands of children's homes built already. Praise the Lord. The thrust was that there where we live is kind of an isolated community. And we have numbers of churches up there in the hill, as he called it. We live there in the hill, and there's 40 miles to this city, and 40 miles to that city, and 40 miles to the other one, and 100 miles to the other one, and there we are, kind of isolated. The thing is, we need to get together, build children's homes. Okay, well, this was the zeal of this whole thing. The Catholics, not the Mormons, but everything else that goes along with it, you know. Of course, this man had long hair, you know, and he was really enthused about this this thing. And I said, well, I'm all for that. I said, we're actually involved in some of that already. But I said, if this thing is getting together, just on the basis of getting together, we better be careful. And so, thinking of the straight and the narrow way, we're not interested in compromising. People are telling us we're too narrow-minded. Well, God is God's way. Christ's way is in harmony with God, and the world's way is in harmony with humanism, and we don't want that. So, the Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Also in Psalm 6:34, verse 19, it says something like this: many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Paul says, afflictions abide me. Hebrews talks about the great fight of affliction. And 1 Corinthians tells us that that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Talks about the hidden wisdom, the supernatural wisdom that comes from God. Now, in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, I'll just turn to that, kind of our text for this morning. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. We just came through the heroes of faith here, or the faithful ones, those that made it through to glory. And then it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, here he tells us, let us run with patience the race which is set before us. Are you running for God this morning, dear brothers and dear sisters? Who are you running for? Who are you emulating in your life? Are you impressed by God, by his kindness, by his goodness, by his commitment to save you, and that he loves you and blesses you? Or are you in the other hand being impressed by the world and all the gadgets and all the fluff and the hot air that goes with that? The Bible tells us, run with patience the race that is set before us. Speaks there of patience, and with that goes a lot of suffering. Where this thing is tucked into the scriptures here is right in the towards the end of the book of Hebrews here. First chapter, you have Jesus and his position of divinity and his attributes, highlighting Jesus Christ. And then it's our responsibility in chapter 2 to move on for God. Then in verse chapter 3, he addresses us as holy brethren to a holy calling. And, in verse chapter 5, he talks about the high priest of a divine nature, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's exhorting us to move on for him. And then, of course, in chapter 11, we have the examples of those faithful people, even though they went through a lot of painful experiences and a lot of things that they hardly knew what to do with, yet God was there to help them. So he is calling on us here in chapter 12 to run with patience. Run with patience is like successive steps that are taken. Keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the author and finisher of our faith. speaks there of laying aside. Now, what do we lay aside? I would have a question for you young men. What have you laid aside for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, something that was dear to your heart that you laid aside for him. Sisters also, what have you laid aside for him? Bible tells us here, lay aside the weight, these weights. Now when we're running in a race, well, we don't carry a whole bunch of stuff along. We are interested in being light and ready and keep right on going. Some weights, bad attitudes. Oh, that's a weight that carries me down. Oh, it's eating me in the inside, from the inside out, a bad attitude. I expected an easier way than this. A bad attitude that you carry of someone else, or you realize somebody's carrying that on you. It can be a weight to get us down. This is the race that is set before you and I, to ask God to anoint our life with this oil of anointing, that these people may see Jesus in our hearts. Now, a number of things here. May the Lord just anoint every heart here as they look to him in his way, what their particular need is. Looking down on others is also a weight. Looking down on others. Worried about tomorrow, the situation of the world, can be a weight, you know. Doesn't look very good when you think of the nation's condition and so forth. Pride is another. That's talking about weights, and then we think about sins. You know, pride, concern more what others do and think of my race. Oh, I wonder how these other people are looking at me. Well, more important is, how is God looking at me? Search your heart. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The peer pressure that we are put under because we're afraid of what our friends sing or think or something like that. Like the drunk that got converted, he said he likes to get close enough to him to help him realize which side of the fence he's on. Yes, jealousy of others' gifts, sin which does so easily beset us, the sin of unbelief and wandering away from God, and then these other things take root in our life and become big problems to us. Walking away from God when he shows us a need of death in our own experience. You know, for us, Paul says he is crucified with Christ. And for us to follow through with that, we see some carnality in our life. We need to say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, anoint me. Lord, help me to acknowledge my sin and my need and move ahead. And you know, that's a healthy thing for a brother or sister to confess a need to another. It just helps us to live more like the Lord is asking us to live. Yes, running. Running with urgency. Higher ground, a channel for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'll just read the scripture there in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and 25 and 28 there. Refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, that's something that we have in our minds. We'd never do that. That's good. But as we go through the message here, I'm going to challenge you as I am challenged myself. Verse 26 speaks there of the severity of God, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, there's a promise for us, saying once more, I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we're receiving this kingdom which cannot be moved. Now it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. God is here to cleanse us. You know, the Bible says we're brought out of darkness, out of the power of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I'm here to say that is a glorious and a wonderful experience, but I'm here to say there's a lot of pain goes with that. If we're going to grow and mature in our Christian life, we need to step up to the plate and be men, be good soldiers, and walk with God. So, in Christ running the race while he was in the earth, he ran with urgency. He ran with purpose. He ran with a goal in mind to bring many sons into glory. And you know, as you and I are here in this earth and we're responding in a divine way instead of a natural way, we're also instrumental in bringing sons into glory. People are saying, hey, that's what I wish I'd have. My old empty heart could never do what that sister or brother is doing. People are looking on. We have a world whose hearts are empty. And they are looking to someone with the real answers of God. Now they're not looking for a bunch of Christians that are squabbling and fighting and carrying on. They're looking for people who love each other and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that does make enemies sometimes. People, he didn't bring peace, but a sword in that sense. But I'm talking in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says where two or three are together, there God visits. There God visits. There am I in the midst of them. So, worthy, walking worthy of this calling, higher ground, accepting the race that is set before us. You know, when we think of the race set before us, God is the one who sets it before us. Just tell me, why did David experience all those bad things from Saul? Just Saul was a bad fella, and just David was stuck with this situation. And so David could have crawled in a hole and pitied himself. David was a man of God. He knew God. So in every one of these experiences, God was able to visit him and help him to higher ground. And I think that's really why we experience bumpy roads in our experience. Long, lonely roads at times. Uphill roads. Misunderstanding roads. So run that ye may obtain. Keep on going. God wants to visit you on every step of the way. When the Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Job and all these, they experienced tough times. They built an altar and they worshiped God. And I really think that's what God has in mind that we would do in every situation that comes our way. Build a little altar before him. Worship him. Remembering Jesus, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He loves us and he cares for us. Christ, his eyes were fixed. His eyes were surrendered. I'm talking about the commitment of Christ to us in saving us. Sometimes we get carried away, my dear friends, with our commitment to him, and we think, well, this isn't quite the way it should be, and so forth, and that and the other thing. People start beating themselves up, and I don't know what's the matter. Get your eyes on the commitment that the Lord Jesus Christ made to save you. It helps us to realize that he loves us. He was a surrendered man. He was submitted to man. And brother just brought that off the other ordination the other evening there in Arizona. He said, you know, with all the things that Jesus did, all those good things and all the things he did here on the earth, he didn't do one thing that the Father didn't tell him to do. That's wonderful. So, when we go forth in life, let's keep that mentality in mind that we are doing what the Father wants us to do. When the painful situations come, when the misunderstandings come, when the less than ideal, we're not living in a perfect world. Yes. Christ submitted. He responded. He loved. He forgave. He endured. He communicated to the Father. He listened to the Father. And, he was our great example for that. Bible says in Hebrews 2 that we ought to give them more earnest heed, lest we should let them slip or neglect them. This so great a salvation that is spoken about there. I think maybe I'll just look at a few scriptures there in Hebrews 2. It just helps us to realize the unity of the sanctifier and the sanctified. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, suffering death and crowned with glory and honor. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. We see Jesus went through a lot of suffering. He was acquainted with this. For both, in verse 11, for both he that saith, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith, he that are all of one, which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. Now, who's singing to who here? In verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers in flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest as things pertaining to God, and make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them, to help them that are tempted. Wonderful verses there. Who's singing to who? There's a togetherness. We all have one Father, and Jesus Christ is in control. He tasted death for every man, that the sanctifier and the sanctified may be all of one. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we have one Father, one family, one Savior. So there is an acceptance and a confession and a profession any confidence. As you and I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has confidence in his children too. Why did he tell Abraham? He says, "For I know that you will command your house after me." He knew Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. God had confidence in him. He has confidence in his sons and daughters. He has espoused them to be his bride. Where is there a groom that would espouse somebody for his bride you don't have confidence in? He has confidence in that because he realized that we came to the foot of the cross and we repented of our sins and he got something solid to work with. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who set me free. We sing that song sometimes about when burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share. Tears drive away the smiles and leaves my heart in pain. But my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, drives away the tears and makes me smile again. It's all in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing that he has a purpose for these things to come into our life. Yes. What is included in this race, in this walk with God? We're interested. I'm sure the brethren here that are called to lead out in the work here, they're interested in producing sanctified saints, seasoned saints that they can send out on an errand for them and realize that things is going to work out. Sanctified saints. In order for that to happen, we need to be the kind of people that have the maturity that are able to deal with the reverses that come into our life. That is so important. And I think that's one area that we are so ill prepared as the people of God. Well, you know, this brother, that sister is just, there's something wrong with them. There's something, and we can get a, Lord help us. Maybe if we look inward and see what's wrong with us and ask the Lord to help us to be more like the Master, that truly these people could see Jesus in us, things would look different. And to do. The Bible says in 1 Peter that as Christ suffered for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Expect painful tests to come in your life. Hard times. Your heart is being refined. My heart is difficult times. It helps us to seek God. It helps us to call upon God. Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. That chapter is committed to rest, the rest. Now all of a sudden he says, labor to enter into that rest. Here's the statement. Get a hold of this statement. Hard times are either going to produce hard feelings or hard work. Hard times are either going to produce one or two things in your experience. I can guarantee it's going to either produce hard feelings or hard work. Well, the kind of glorious gospel I have is just everything is happily ever after. Well, it don't work that way, my friends. If we're going to be soldiers of the cross here in Osceola, if you're going to go to Bolivia, Cuba, or wherever the Lord sends you, there's hard times ahead of you. You're still going to start a home for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hard times ahead of you. Bless God for that. It helps us to draw an eye to him. It helps us to be what he wants us to be. So, it requires us to step up and learn a great deal in this walk of life. It speaks of maturity. Maturity. Seasoned saints who are walking, the children of God, who are walking with God and aren't going to have their feathers ruffled with some situations that they can't understand. You know, God's mind is a whole lot bigger than your my mind, and it's no wonder we can't understand sometimes. But as we look to him and seek his face, he helps us. Yes. So this hard work. Now, we can grit our teeth and think, okay, well, hard work, let's go for it. That's not what God's talking about. God's talking about the hard work of getting down at the foot of the cross and knowing that God has the answer to this situation and seeking him until we find it. That causes some tears sometimes. We would see Jesus. The world would see Jesus. The church brothers would see Jesus. I want to be a part of a church where a person can make a mistake and find his way and be forgiven and move ahead for God. And I want to be a part of a church where there's an openness for confession and so forth, and that we're not here to... That's terrible. Well, maybe it is terrible, but praise God that the brother or sister had the courage to confess it and get rid of it. I mean, to live in this... hey, Lord, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, and I will heal you. Now, that has a cleansing effect. If you confess some, you know, that should never happened or something, you know what, next time that temptation comes, that the Lord's going to be there to help you better. And that's just the humility that we need. All right. Now, hard work is not restricted to abnormal times. Paul expected it. Paul blessed God for it. Just like to read in 2 Corinthians 6. Paul talks about going on in the Lord there. Bible says, he says there in the first verse, we are workers together. Beseech you, receive not the grace of God in vain. We are workers together. And if we're going to work together, there needs to be a working and a respect and a working together. Not because I'm the king or the president or the bishop, everybody looks to me. God forbid. I should be an example of humility. All right, what does he say here? We are workers together. He saith, let's see, verse 2. I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give not offense, that the minister be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves to be the ministers of God. And now he goes down a number of things. And just remember, as we read down over here, just think how often you could attach pain and suffering to these things here. Okay, minister of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Say, there's a lot of pain goes along with that. If you're living a Christian walk, expect that type of thing. If God is working with you, if there's interaction with you and God and with me and God, these are things that are going to be a part of us. Then he says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith. You know, it just it's by God that we step up to higher ground and walk with him. All right. The Bible says strong meat belongeth to those who are full age, who have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. I think that's some of the strong meat of our Christian walk that goes with us to make us sanctified sons that are worthy to send out on a mission. It's not only what the church at OCO's at all the senses out on, but it's what God wants to send you out. As a brother, as a sister, God has a lot of work for you and I to do. My son, now Hebrews 12 verse 6, that speaks of my dear one, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Who is in charge? The Lord is in charge. Who is in control of this earth? The Lord is in control. Who brings these things to us? It is God's providence to draw us closer to him. In fact, When is the Lord closer to you, when things is everything going just beautiful, or when you're going through the rough and the tests and the trials, it helps you to call out to God? God is closer, you see him more. If you're like I am, you're faced with troubles and circumstances, and well, if I could only find a way around this and change this situation. You know, if I could change this person or these people. If I could fix this problem somehow. But you know, the divine way to look at it is fix this problem without bypassing myself and realizing I can learn something. God brought this into my experience to learn something. Now, if you're going through a situation and you think it's pointless, that can be frustrating, and it'll give you license to get all worked up and frustrated and angry and blaming others and this and that. But if you're going to look inward to God and let him examine your heart, you're going to say, yes, Lord, I need this, and I want to learn from this, and I want to be more like you and respond what you tell me to respond. So it's the difference between the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam is natural. The last Adam is divine, and that is Jesus Christ. Yes. God has a bigger agenda in mind, my dear friends. God has a bigger agenda in mind than we often do. He wants us to be more like him. He wants us to die to ourselves. James 2 says, rejoice when you fall into many diverse temptations. I think that means testings. Rejoice that you are partakers with him. Not exact, but really the essence of it is, we're to rejoice when these things come. That we may be conformed into his image. More conformed into his image. May the Lord help us. Just like to think a little bit about the children of Israel. Connect with the scripture on this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 13 speaks there of the children of Israel. I won't read that. But it speaks there of the example before us. Now the children of Israel, they were God's chosen people. And they got themselves into problem and were sent over to Egypt. And they were in bondage there. They were slaves. They were in merciless conditions. Darkness and no hope for the future. That's for going over 400 years of that type of thing. And they're calling to God, Lord, where are you at? God, if you're alive, help us. God raises up a man, Moses and Aaron. The good news comes. We're leaving Egypt. Wonderful. Hey, the Lord is hearing our prayers. The first Passover was not a problem. They slew the lamb and they put the blood over the doorpost, and they were all into this. They were obedient to God. God told them to put the blood there and that they would be saved. And they were ready to move on. Yes. They were ready to move on. And they moved on. They started on. In essence, you could almost think they did all the right things. They were promised the land of floweth with milk and honey. God had something to help these people with. God chose in his sovereignty to take them through the desert to teach them to be more like him, that his image may be on him. That they don't get proud and lifted up, and I think those are why you and I are faced with this type of things. Oh, I tell you what, my leadership, the people just follow and they bloom and the church is growing, it's all because of me. God doesn't want that. He hates that. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. He is the exalted one. Anyway, they ended up in the sand dunes. They ended up in sun and heat. They were delivered, my dear friends, from the land of death, only to have death stare them in the face again. Really? This isn't what I bargained for. Don't you think they felt that way? I didn't think this was in the package. I thought we're going to the land of flowings and milk and honey. I thought the exceeding great and precious promises of God are so good that I won't be faced with a whole lot of hard experiences. Must be something wrong with me. Well, yeah, there's something wrong with me. The Lord wants to make me more like Him. He wants to make you more like Him. Can you equate with that? Not what I expected. This is not what I was promised. Not what I wanted out of life. This wasn't in the bargain, I didn't think. And thus, people get frustrated. The Bible says, freely ye have received, freely give. And I don't think that's just speaking. Well, that's simply speaking of the Spirit of God living in us. Let's learn from God's bigger agenda. Mark it down, not as abnormal to go through tests. I need it, I want it, I cherish it, because God is at work in my life. That was Paul's testimony. Yes, life is difficult. It's the sovereign way of our sovereign God of drawing us closer to Him. Don't miss out on this vital point. It's very important. Let's not miss out on this vital point that God wants to teach us. It's a real benefit in transforming us. God is up to something. He wants us to be more like Him. And I don't care what that hard experience is that you are called to face, if you're going to call on God and take God's way through it, it's going to be a stepping stone for you. I agree. It's a little hard to understand where that comes from sometimes, but that's really, God is at work. Paul was one that went through many trials and tests and gained much from the tests. Job shines as a star because he was faithful in the test. Joseph is a highlight to our youth and to our grandpas and our grandmas and all of us. Purity and holiness and righteousness. Because after he was falsely accused and misused and all kinds of stuff, he was still shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man and God that was acquainted with suffering and sorrow and grief. God, is God active in your life? I want to learn what God has in mind for me. Tells us in Hebrews 12:10 that ye may be partakers of His holiness. Workers together, yes. Just a few, in closing here, a few thoughts along the line. It seems this leadership thing and this authority thing and this I am the head of the home and all that. That is something that needs to be visited by God in our experience. I think that has done more ruin or more havoc in the Church of Jesus Christ than we realize. We are interested in better equipped servants. Now, I'm not saying this to the leadership here. I'm saying it to young people are rising up and facing. Oh, you're a Sunday school superintendent now. You're head of the tract distribution, or you're this and so forth and that. I'd just like to point out a few thoughts here that can help us, that need to help us. Okay, rules to be ready equipped for responsibility. Keep your overall focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourself in the fear of God. A lover of variety of personalities is so important. If you're a tract leader or whatever God calls you, a variety of loving the variety of personality, because the Bible says a lover of good men, and I don't believe that God created any people that are Christians. They're all good men. Every one of them. So keep that in mind. If I lead out and think, okay, this fellow's good, that fellow over there, and there's another one, because they kind of just click with my personality, I'm an unfaithful leader. But if I can see that God wants me to learn by every last personality here, say, now we're on God's premises. God can teach us. And you know what? That is going to be felt in your little Sunday school class. That's going to be felt as you distribute your tracts. It's going to be felt as you preach and teach or whatever you're called on to do. A lover of good men, a lover of variety of personality that God has placed in the church. I'm not talking about sin. But you know what? In my little mind, I'm real quick. Well, that's carnality. We need to deal with it, you know. Lord help us. Well, we need to deal with carnality, but let's do it in the way that God wants us to do, considering ourselves that we can really, now that person that does have a problem can feel that there's a heart of love and grace in back of it. All right. The humility of seeing my own humanity and crying out to God for his divine anointing and guidance. This is just so important in anybody with responsibility. Fathers, mothers, all of us. Our call is to bind things together. New Testament says, if two or three are together, there am I in the midst of them. Not when I am alone. A leader needs a keen sense of the heart of every brother involved. Responsibility to delegate responsibilities to those who have a heart for God. Now, all of a sudden, we open something up. Now, I'm responsible as the leader in the church or whatever. And now I'm called on to delegate responsibility. But brother, sister, I'm telling you to do this, but make sure these little details all happen. God forbid. Lord, help us to have enough of confidence in those godly persons that we're putting in charge that they can have the freedom to move ahead for God in that some of their personality is going to go along with it too. I think that that is one thing that we need as a brotherhood. I'm not just saying let everything go loose and not, you know, if we become so regimented in everything that we do, after a while, well, they got to carry the church leader in their pocket, you know, and take him along. Hey, what should I do now? What should I do now? There's a leader in heaven that's able to help us. I'm not saying this for the leadership here. I'm saying it for the mentality that we need to develop as young men and young women grow up. That has been a real problem in immature youth. Oh, I'm in charge here now. Lord, help us. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to realize that God's in charge. The Church of Jesus Christ is here, and we're here with responsibility to try to gather the minds together and move ahead as a unit. All right. The work is not our work. Yes, it's God's work. The direction is not my direction, but a unified direction. I think it's a difference in church administration, really, that when you have proper New Testament church administration, what I'm speaking of here is the outcome of it. The more I can keep myself out of it and get the voice of the unified brothers, the better we're going to function. Because where two or three are together in my name, there divinity visits. And there God draws us together. So may the Lord help us to be better equipped saints to move ahead. To look at the children of Israel and say, well, if they'd have done this and that and the other thing, they'd have made out a whole lot better. Well, let's look within. If you and I would have done this or that or the other thing, and realize that God's in charge and God's bringing these things for a real purpose, and I want to learn from it, then we're going to get the point. May the Lord help us. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you this morning for your love. We pray that you might touch each heart, guide each of us, help us to walk by faith and truly learn from you, that your image may be stamped in our hearts more clearly, more fully, and we might be sanctified saints that are ready to move ahead for you and be there for what you want us to be. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.